Well, welcome and thank you for joining us. This podcast is entitled Pre-Tirement, A State of Mind Planning. I'm Tom Hinton on behalf of the American Consumer Council, a nonprofit consumer education organization with over 142,000 members across the United States. And just a little bit about ACC. It was founded in 1987, and it's dedicated to consumer advocacy and financial education. ACC supports America's economic growth by promoting the sale and use of safe, reliable products and services to consumers. ACC also recognizes companies for supporting consumers through its Friend of the Consumer Award. And today we're delighted to have Ms. Chris Miller, and that's Chris with a K, as our subject matter expert. And Chris, welcome. It's great to have you here, and very much appreciate your willingness to share with us all about pre-tirement. I should mention that Chris is the author of the number one best-selling book, Pre-Tirement, Ready for Pre-Tirement, actually. And Chris teaches people how to live more rewarding, priority-driven, and financially smart lives. So welcome, Chris. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Tom. I'm honored to be here.
Great. Well, let's jump right into this topic, which really is a wonderful word that you have coined called pre-tirement. Share with our listeners a little bit about what pre-tirement is and how do we develop that estate of mind planning, that ease of mind with regard to pre-tirement.
Great, Chris. Question, Tom. Well, pre-tirement is plan retirement early, so your money, your health, and your peace of mind is there when you need it. Now, you can't have peace of mind if all the ducks aren't in a row, if you don't have everything organized. It's always something that worries you or bothers you. So what I show people to do is how to protect their assets from long-term care, nursing home costs, probate, and the Great Recession.
Well, that's a mouthful, so we should probably start with one of those. Let's talk about planning with regard to wills and living trust. I know you have extensive experience in that subject and that area. Share with our listeners a little bit about wills and living trust and what are the do's and don'ts there.
All right. Well, we have a document preparation service called Trust Unlimited and have prepared over 5,000 living trusts in the last 23 years. Thank God I've never had one problem. We make them all over the country. And what we found is that its paperwork is so important, it's just not something you wait to the end of your life to do. So what is a living trust? Well, a living trust is a legal entity created to own, manage, and administer your assets in accordance with an individual's desire. And what it does is it lets you leave your estate to your family or loved ones or charity without going through probate. What's probate? Well, probate's courts. Courts take attorneys, and attorneys take money.
Right? Money. Lots of it.
Lots of it. Anywhere from, depending on the greed level, anywhere from 5 to 25% of your estate before your family gets it. And that's all depending on, like I said, different states, laws, and greed levels. So, but why is it that people do not know that there are actually instruments that have been around since the Middle Ages? And this is what I talk about in my book, Ready for Pre-Tirement, The Three Secrets for Safe Money and a Fabulous Future. This has been a secret. Nobody really has known about the living trust except maybe for the last 25 years or so. But these documents were set up in the Middle Ages, and they're really ways that you can actually leave what you have to your family or charity without going through courts. Now, a good living trust, a comprehensive living trust, not only includes living trust, but it also includes other documents that are very important while you're alive. The power of attorney for financial. is very, very important for you. At any age, if you become incapacitated, you can name somebody that would be able to pay your bills or take care of any financial matters in case of emergency, and then your power of attorney for health care. And this gives somebody you trust the power to make any kind of medical decisions for you if, God forbid, something happens. So these are very, very important documents to have included in your trust. Now,
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, now, different states, the threshold on who needs a trust, that level is pretty close. But, for example, like California, how do you know if you're going to go into probate? Some people think, oh, well, I don't have $1 million, I'm not going to probate. No, that's not how it works. California's law says if you have $20,000 in real estate or $125,000 in cash, you're going to probate. That's the
law. Wow.
Wow,
that's
what?
A low limit, isn't it?
Yeah, I've seen people go to probate for $250.
Wow.
Because of the situation. So it isn't always that threshold. I've seen it go on different thresholds depending on how the planning was set up. Point being that the living trust is a perfect way for everything you're working your whole life for to go directly from you as the individual to your family without courts and attorneys and middlemen and fees. So that is really important to have.
Okay. Chris, another area that I know you're very big on in terms of advice and counsel to consumers is this area of guardianships. And so many of our members have children. Can you share with under the age of 18, can you share with us a little bit about the issues and concerns that you have for guardianship?
I'm so glad you mentioned that. It's really important, and people really don't get it. But let's just say mom and dad go out to dinner and don't come back. Who's going to take care of the kids? You've got to have a guardianship. You've got to have that paperwork set up so that your children are taken care of in case of emergency. How do you want them taken care of? Do you want them to go to college? I mean, you want to have all that documented. So if you are one of the statistics, your kids are covered. So guardianship is very important. And in our living trust, so in the packages, you want to make sure that your trust has that provision included in it. So you have a guardianship for minor children and conservatorship for older children, for elderly people.
Now say that part again just so that we capture it, conservatorship.
Conservatorship is, say, if you become incapacitated, let's say you didn't do any planning and you don't have a trust or powers of attorney, you could go through what's called a living probate. That means you could go to court while you were alive, God forbid, if you're incapacitated, because they have to figure out who's going to take care of you. Now, it may not be somebody that you want. It will be somebody that the court appoints, maybe the next of kin, maybe someone you don't like.
Like that crazy aunt who's hiding in the basement.
Right, that lady, right.
Yeah.
So you don't want the crazy aunt to take care of you. So, you know, you want your loved ones. So that's why it's really important to have all the paperwork set up ahead of time. So if that, in case of emergency, happens, you have your loved one take care of you, and you have what's called a conservatorship. So conservatorship is for elderly people. Guardianship is for the minor children. So we have the older children over 65 and the younger children under 18, because we're all children, right?
Well, I'll tell you what, if that doesn't into getting their will and living trust in order, I'm not sure what would. You know, it also leads us into another really important topic that you focus on, Chris, and that's long-term care. Can you expound a little bit on do's and don'ts for long-term care?
You know, that one is shocking. It's really, I talked about it for a lot of years, but I'll tell you, it really didn't hit me till it happened in my own family. And unfortunately, we all go into this denial that we're never going to die and never going to get sick. But my mom and dad are the perfect examples of who would never go to a nursing home. My dad worked out at the gym in his 80s, and my mom was in her late 70s with cancer at the gym. But they never, in my mind, were the people that would go to a nursing home. But unfortunately, they're in that generation that was thought or was taught that Medicare would take care of them in a nursing home. Medicare does not cover us in a nursing home. Our health
Say that again, because that may be a misnomer that many of our listeners didn't know, and you might even take a moment to talk a little bit about Medicare. But say that again, Medicare does not cover.
Right. Medicare does not cover us in a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
It covers about 2%, which are basically people that have strokes or comatose, and it doesn't cover any home care. So which means my health insurance, your health insurance, your HMO, Medicare, those do not cover us in a nursing home. That's why 85% of bankruptcies are medical expenses. It's a nightmare.
Yes.
It's a huge nightmare.
Wow.
So 7 out of 10 of us after 65 will end up in a convalescent home. Why? Well, they have a rule called the DRG rule. Do you know what that is?
No.
Never heard of that? Well, basically it means get you out of there as soon as possible. They want you out of there within 3 days. Why?
Wow.
They get less money. If you're there longer than 3 days, the money table changes. So here's one. Here's my mom with cancer. Day 2 of her surgery, Stanford Hospital, very good hospital, right? Day 2, they moved her to a convalescent home from intensive care. Is that crazy?
Wow.
Or what? And it was all about money. They get to get less money, so they send us to nursing homes. So if I break my leg skiing, and I'm under 65, right? If I break my leg skiing, I'm going to a nursing home. So it isn't an age-driven thing. People think of nursing homes or convalescent homes as people 80 and 90, 100 years old. No. No, it's somewhere between 20 and 40% of people in nursing homes are under 65.
Well, that's interesting.
Yes.
I have a couple of friends who have had knee surgeries, and it's interesting. They were in nursing homes for recovery, which shocked me. I, you know, had to question them, did you mean nursing home? And they said, oh, yeah. So what you're saying is absolutely true and a little bit scary. It leads us into really the last topic that we wanted to focus on in this podcast, and that is, what about entitlement programs? You mentioned that Medicare doesn't cover nursing homes. What are some of the entitlement programs that our listeners should be aware of, and what do they do and do not cover?
Well, Medicare doesn't cover you in your own home. Medicare covers you in the nursing home, but in order to get Medicare or what they call Medicaid, you have to be broke. Basically, what they call indigent.
Yeah.
Right. So the levels that they make for married people are, married people is, for just say, California, and most of the states are pretty close in their numbers. But to get on Medicaid, you get a car and a house, and married people get $125,000. Single people, you get a car and a house and $2,500. Excuse me, $2,500.
$2,500 in what, assets or savings?
Assets.
Oh,
so they make you spend down everything you have before they help you. But they're not really helping you, because what they do is they'll charge your estate after you pass away if you get on Medicaid. Because when you pass away, your kids are going to inherit the debt if you use the state to take care of you. That's why you don't want to rely on the entitlement programs. They're going to get worse and worse.
Oh, jeez.
Don't encourage anybody to rely on the government, really, honestly.
Well,
you've got to be proactive.
Wow. Maybe we ought to talk about investment choices then before we conclude the program. How do you select the proper investment portfolio for your particular needs.
Well, what you want to do is put a bottom on your money. You want to get your money in a place where you never lose a dime. And that's what I show my clients how to do. That's what I've done myself. I'm showing my clients safe money strategies. I have never lost a dime of my clients' money in 23 years. And I've counseled over 5,000 people. And what I did is I got what's called an equity index annuity with an income rider. I'm getting 8.5, but the rates now are 7% interest compounded on an income you can't outlive. Extra income you use to fund a long-term care policy. Now, everybody's different, so I don't do like robot planning, say everybody needs an annuity or everybody needs this or not. No, not everybody does. You have to be suitable to it. So that's why we have what I call a financial fitness review, where I talk to my clients and show them this is what you can qualify for, this is how you can pay it, and give you actual ideas on the safe money strategies on where you can put your money so you never lose a dime, and then whatever you make can actually take care of you while you're alive so you're comfortable, and use your money to make sure that you're comfortable. Get yourself long-term care insurance before you're older and ill, or you can't afford it.
Well, now, before we sign off, and I do want you to share with our listeners your contact information, but let me bring you back. What an equity index annuity, where do people go to find out a little more about that and how to tap into one of those?
Okay. Well, I encourage everybody to reach out to me, of course, because I can actually connect you with all, I'm across the country and I have agents all over the country too. But what there, it's not every company has the best one. It's taken me a lot of years to actually find the best ones. And so what I share with my clients are the ones that I own myself. But and you can reach out to me directly at 951-926-4158 or visit me by sending me an email at Chris, K-R-I-S, at readyforpretirement.com, readyforpretirement.com. And realize that these equity index annuities are like a savings account with an insurance company, like a CD is a savings account with a bank. So every $100 you have with an insurance company, they have $125 to $135 in reserve to your $100. Did you know that the FDIC is broke, basically? So every $100 you have in a bank, they've got about, and that varies. A few years ago I checked it on it. Was something like 58 cents for our 100. Don't quote me on the exact price now. Not a whole lot of backing.
Well, that's why we're real promoters of credit unions, because I know that the National Credit Union Administration just received or is in the process of receiving quite a settlement thanks to their hard work from J.P. Morgan as a result of mortgage missteps. And so your credit unions are a great way to save, and we encourage our members of the American Consumer Council to certainly check out their credit unions for safe investment strategies as well as yourself. Well, Chris, let me just say that it's been a pleasure to have Chris Miller, author of Ready for Pretirement, as our special guest to counsel us a little bit on how do you develop an estate of mind, a calm. So, Chris, any closing thoughts before we sign off?
Well, I really, really want to encourage people to actually take action. I know it's something that is, this is the most procrastinated subject there is. And who wants to talk about death and taxes, right? So, but we can make it fun. So I want to encourage you people to be proactive and start learning. Get my book. Reach out to your credit union. Reach out to me. You know, learn and start taking a step. Commit to taking a step. Every month, do something that you can create your estate plan so you will have peace of mind, or what I call an estate of mind, and that you will be ready for pre-retirement.
Excellent. And for more information on Chris Miller and getting ready for pre-retirement, our listeners can also visit www.AmericanConsumerCouncil.org. Well, this is Tom Hinton on behalf of the American Consumer Council. Chris, thank you so much, and we hope this has been beneficial to our listeners.
And I thank you so much, Tom. I really appreciate it, and invite anybody, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out, and we'll be happy to help you.
Okay. Chris, thank you. Have a great day, and I hope our listeners have a great day. Thanks so much, and goodbye.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.